probably spend a good half hour, 45 minutes talking about him. And probably it's one of the reasons that if I do, he'll take me outside after.
Write that every word. Come on, everybody. How are you? What's happening? If anybody gets a Snapchat from my daughter in the middle, please let me know. She keeps texting me, asking me to be who's a child and who's a shaman. Erev Tov, there was a great tzaddik by the name of the Chose of Lublin. Poland, anyone last year? Yeah, so you're in Lublin. The Chose, you know, the old cemetery, there's two major cemeteries in Lublin, but the entire Lublin is a cemetery. Adonik was there. But the old cemetery in Lublin, the caver with the big cage over it, with the big, because it was, the Chose of Lublin was one of the primary students of the Rebbe Melech, Rebbe Elimelech from Lezhensk. He was known for his abilities to see to the core, to the essence of every individual. That's why he was called the Chose, the seer. He was able to see. There was a shtetl, a town that was struggling. There was an internal threat of maskilim, of individuals who were making trouble. There was a lot of fighting between the traditionalists and the maskilim. And among those maskilim, there was someone who was even worse than a maskil. He was a meshumad, somebody who had converted, someone who left the faith. And he was a moser. He was ratting Jews out and setting people up and planting false information. The worst of the worst, the bottom of the barrel, the lowest. Creating havoc, making up things, getting the local government involved, and there were gezeros against the Jews there, and it was all because of this moser. Moser means somebody who's handing other Jews over to the authorities. The worst. It's like the bottom of the food chain in Jewish society. So a group of community leaders, a group of people from this town, from this shtetl, decided they were going to go to the Chose of Lublin, and they were going to enlist the Chose's help to take care of this guy, to neutralize this threat. They had no recourse. They didn't know what to do. If they were to take him out back behind the mikvah and beat him up, so they'd get into more trouble with the local authorities. They had no recourse with this guy, so they decided they're going to go to the Rebbe and get the Rebbe to curse them out. So they get their stuff together, right around this time of year, and they make their way to Lublin. When they get to the Chose, it's literally Erev Chanukah, and figured they would, hop around. They take the opportunity to light the candles with the Rebbe, to be able to be there while the Tzaddik lights his candles. And then afterwards, the Rebbe was, would receive people, and you could write a kvittel. You know what a kvittel is? Mm-hmm. The kvittel is? It's like the original WhatsApp. It's like a note. A note that was written on paper, you write down a request for Rafu Shalema or for a bracha for a shidduch or whatever it may be, acceptance to some summer program or something. Whatever it is that you want, you write it down on a little post-it note and give it to the tzaddik, and the tzaddik, takes a look at it and gives a bracha. Anyways, they came to the Chose of Lublin, and later in the evening, after Hadlakas Neiros, after the Seuda, everyone lined up. Came before the Chose and they handed him this little piece of paper with the name of that Moser, of that Rasha. And the Chose takes a look at it, holds it very close to his face, and he says, Meir b'chol ha'olamos. Meir b'chol ha'olamot. He's shining in all of the worlds. His soul is shining all of the olamos. These guys thought maybe there was something wrong. Maybe there was they had Wi-Fi. Maybe there's something that the Rebbe didn't understand. He probably missed something here. There's some miscommunication. And they kind of said, no, Rebbe, look, meaning this is the name of a Moser. And the Chose takes a look at it and he says, Alech de Geyid, a lit up Jew, Meir Bechol Olamos, was illuminating all of the worlds. Gabbai pushed them next. Now, it's needless to say, these guys, these community leaders who schlepped all the way to Lublin to get the Chose to curse this guy out, they obviously were very disappointed. They couldn't understand it. And among them, anyway, there was somebody who was a little skeptical about these Rebbes. He thought, maybe this whole thing is a crock. How could it be? So they were sitting around afterwards, like, you know, playing dreidel, saying to themselves, like, what a waste of gas, what a waste of time to schlep all the way out to Lublin. And the Chozes Talmud Muvak, Reb Naftali from Rapshitz, if you went to the old shul in Lansitz, that's right next to where the Rapshitzer is. The Rapshitzer came over to them and said, guys, you look a little disappointed, what's going on? And they told him the whole story. He said, it's not possible that this person, that the Chozes must have made a mistake. There's not an ounce of good in this person. He's a rotten to the core human being. He's causing tzaras for Jews left and right. Rav Chizur said, okay, give it a shot tomorrow morning before on your way out. Stop by the Rebbe, ask him again. Kachav, after davening in the morning, as they were really preparing themselves to leave Lublin, they went to the Chozeh and again gave the kvittel. And they said, Rebbe, he's a Moser. He's a Moser. He's ruining Jewish lives. He's threatening the entire community. And the Chozeh looked at the name and said, oh, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. May his name be erased. Rosh Marusha, Yamach Shemo V'Zichro. There's always that guy in the story that says, but Rebbe, I don't understand. He's a water schlepper, a tailor, a wood chopper maybe. He said, Rebbe, I don't understand. Last night, you're talking about how this Jew was a lechti geyid, he was on fire, and he was illuminating all the worlds, and this morning, Rosh Marusha, you see him for who he really is? The Chozeh said, what do you mean? I saw last night that even this Jew, this Moser, had lit Hanukkah candles. He said, it's not possible. He couldn't have lit Hanukkah candles. He's a Meshumad. He's against Klal Yisrael. He left the faith. He said, well, maybe he was walking in the street and he saw Hanukkah candles. Because something inside of him was Meir B'chol Olamos. Says Reb Naftali Tzvi from Rapshitz, the Talmud of the Chozeh of Lublin. Anyone who's able to see beneath the surface on Hanukkah knows that every single Jew, no matter where they are, Basher Husham, on Hanukkah, is Meir B'chol Olamos. More than any other time of year, more than any other holiday, there's something about the menorah that resonates. There's something about the light of this festival that resonates as a lowest common denominator, so to speak, in Klal Yisrael, as a symbol and existentially, more than any other time of year. In recent years, it actually even shifted statistically. It used to be that Jews would go to Shul Yom Kippur, and that was the most Jewish day of the year. Recent surveys in this Pew study that came out just last year, more Jews are connected to Hanukkah, aware of and observant of Hanukkah in some way, than any other holiday. Some might say, well, it's because there's other stuff going on in December. This year it also winds up. Maybe Adam Sandler popularized it. Hallmark makes a lot of money off these cards. The Jewish alternative to the non-Jewish expression of the holiday season. But by the Talmidim Baal Shem Tov, we understand that Hanukkah represents something so much more fundamental, something so basic. Is that a Jew is always on fire. There is a reality that Gershon Rav Turetsky asked me to mention a little bit about this week, but Yitzchak Kislev. Lubavitchers are often late. The timing is sometimes a little off. But there's still those who are like recovering from the Fabrengans of Yitzchak Kislev. It's still okay to talk about Tanya. One of the fundamental yisodos of the Balatanya, the Sefer Tanya that you're learning about this week, just to continue what you were talking about earlier in seminary, is that the default setting, you know, you buy a printer, you buy a computer, and it gets a little bit messed up, it gets confused sometimes, there's a virus, if something happens to it, it gets all turned around, twisted inside. The way they sometimes fix it, it's beyond repair, it has to be restored to its faculty, to its factory default. Talking about, you push a button and it... The factory default of a Jew, Elokai, Neshama, Shemasata, Bi, Tahorehi. It's a fact, it's a reality, it's a statement, it's not a request. I hope to be Tor. It's a statement of fact. It is the beginning point. As the Baal HaTanya writes, every single Jew is created with the breath of God. Our heart beats with that divine breath. Man d'nafach, mitoch nafach, as the Pasuk tells us in the beginning of creation. V'yipach bi'apav, nishmas chayim. That God blew into us. It's the second parak in Tanya. That God blew into us the breath of life, that is the soul. And when we blow into something, it is imbued with our spirit. Mankind, as a living, thriving being, is imbued with the divine spirit. That means the default setting of a Jew is that the breath of God lies within. That is neshama tahorihi. That is the neshama shenasata bi tahorihi. As the Baal HaTanya writes, chelek eloka mimal mamish, literally. Literally, an expression and a manifestation of the Ribono Shalom within. So this notion that sometimes we're on and sometimes we're off, and sometimes we feel it and sometimes we don't, and sometimes we manifest or we express Torah and mitzvahs, and we feel like we're on fire, and we feel like things are clicking, and we feel interested and up and engaged in our Yiddishkeit, and we're going to davening, and we're doing that project and taking on this Kabbalah, and we're being strong in this way and that way. It's hakol tov yafeh. But sometimes we're lazy and we're tired, and sometimes we get short with our parents, and sometimes we get, that right side of whatever's on the YouTube, is more interesting than whatever mincha there is to daven. And we go down the rabbit hole of batala. And that doesn't change the default setting of a Jew. Whether one is engaged in mitzvos or one is, rachmana litzlan, the opposite. Whether one is davening and learning or filling their day with the opposite, according to the basics of Jewish philosophy, the soul hasn't changed. We get schar for everything good that we do, every thought, every deed, every action, every word. And we break it, we bought it. We are responsible for all of our thoughts, actions, and deeds at the end of the day. But the existential reality and default, factory default of a Jew is that we are always lit. As Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Ne'er Hashem, Mishmas Adam, the candle of God, is the soul of man. It's kind of like a Shabbos lamp. You have Shabbos lamps? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Shabbos lamps are awesome. I don't have Shabbos lamps when going up. Shabbos, you have to leave the light on the hallway. We have Shabbos lamps and we have a holy light on, so there's holy lights everywhere. No, you have a holy light on your house? You do? So we have a Shabbos lamp for you. You can read. We used to have to read. We also had to actually all have to spend time together in our house in the living room. Everybody could be in the living room if you wanted to read on Friday night or play a game. Now everybody has their own room with their Shabbos lamps. Shabbos lamps are awesome. It's on. It's plugged in and it's on. And all you have to do is turn it. Now sometimes it seems like if the lamp is closed, you don't know if it's on or off, right? So what do? Slightest of twists and you see that it's shining. Kotzke Rebbe said that the difference between somebody who is a tzaddik and a rasha, Torah tells us, is me mizrach lamara. From east to west is the difference between someone who is busy with averos and physicality versus someone who is busy with Torah and mitzvos and ruchnias. From east to west, the difference. That's how far it is, from one side of the world to the other. You know what the Kotzke explains? Is it hard to do tshuva or easy to do tshuva? Is it hard or is it easy? Let's hear. Hard. Who says hard? It's a to-do, right? There's a whole sefer in the Rambam. You have a whole month of Elul, and you're making a lot of people walking around making parnas off for talking about how hard it is to do tshuva. The Minhag Baal Shem Tov says it's not hard. It's very easy. It's just going back to the factory default. It's just recognizing. It's recognizing this very simple process. Hashem made tshuva kodem b'ris ha'olam. Hashem made tshuva. Mizrach l'marav is not hard. Here I'm facing Mizrach, now I'm facing Marav. It's a very simple turn. It's a very simple turn to be covered versus being open. For the room to go from being dark to illuminate. It might seem on the outside that it's off, that we're turned off, that we're not illuminating, that we're not shining. But with the slightest twist, we see that the light was on the entire time. That the Baal HaTanya says is the reality of a Jew constantly. Chaviv Adam Shenivar B'Tzelem. Mankind is created in the image of God. But the difference between mankind in general and Klal Yisrael specifically is that we're called Chavivim Yisrael. There's a Chaviv Yisera, the Mishnah tells us. There's another level, a different type of a love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael Because we're called Banim L'Makom. You walk down the main drag, the main block, and you can't pass. So there's a few banners that kind of express the fundamentals, the pillars, the essence of the philosophy, not just of the camp, but of Klal Yisrael. One of them we'll see is Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzel, that every human being is created in God's image. And then the next banner that you see immediately following that is to know that, yes, it's true that every human being is in God's image, but Klal Yisrael is something different, there's something more. There's an even deeper level of unconditional acceptance and love called Banim L'Makom. Same way a parent looks at their child, and the same way a parent is accepting their child and loving them regardless, wanting them to make good decisions, wanting them to be healthy, wanting them to be successful, encouraging them, enabling them, strengthening them, admonishing them, giving criticism, constructive or otherwise, but ultimately, regardless, in the end of the day, an unconditional love, that's the way the Ribono Shel Olam is with Klal Yisrael. Chanukah, more than any other time of the year, represents that. I mean, there's a little bit of a misconception about what was happening during those days. It wasn't so hunky-dory. It wasn't like an ABC after-school holiday special. The majority of Jews during the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Chanukah miracle unfolded, the majority of Klal Yisrael were disengaged in their practice and in their practical emunah. The majority of Jews in those days were mityavnim, had adopted the lifestyle of the Greco-Roman Empire. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they looked like goyim, they acted like goyim, they spoke like goyim. They lived their life with a moral compass that was more goyish than Jewish. I mean, on a very basic level, there was a deep, deep assimilation. Someone sent me a picture today on WhatsApp of an ad for some clothing store in Tel Aviv, some mall in Tel Aviv, and the ad was all famished. It was a red and green sign with white writing, and there was like a bearded guy on it with holding a menorah, and some like reindeer theme with lights coming off of it. It was like a whole Chanukah and like, you know, December 20, like a whole famished thing. I was like, how could this be in Eretz Yisrael? I'm like, I don't know, it seems pretty appropriate to the Chanukah story, since that's really what it was like during those days. The Jews adopted the symbols of the Greeks, they adopted their language, their mode of dress, Greek philosophy, and they were learning Torah. They were learning Torah and observing, you know, a lot of the mitzvahs. But they had lost the yichudiyut of what it means to be a Jew. They lost what's special, what's different about Yiddishkeit. What was happening during those days was a complete disengagement from Pnimiyas HaTorah, from the depth, from the beauty of what Torah is as a divine document. So the miracle of Chanukah, as the Talmidim of Baal Shem Tov explain, is that when Klal Yisrael began to recognize and to realize, become aware again, that even though on the outside maybe we were disengaged, maybe on the outside weren't so great in the plus column of our Torah mitzvah observance, maybe on the outside we were looking like and acting like and thinking like and speaking like not Jews, but on the inside, Chanukah awakens the recognition that we are Meir B'chol HaOlamos, that a Jew is always lit. And on Chanukah, every single male, female, and Jewish child who lights the menorah or sees the menorah and comes in contact with those lights, it wakes that up inside. It awakens that pintel of yid, that Jewish spark inside. Just by seeing them, just by seeing, there's some type of holy defiance that wakes up, that drives away the darkness and melts away the exteriors. When we come to light our candles on Chanukah, when we come to light our menorah, you have your menorahs already? You got them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oil, wax. Let's fill in the pig's spirit. What do you got? Wow, we got some oil?
Oil.
You got some oil, a little wax also. We got some wax over here. Everyone's going to light on big tables all together, right? The wax cover is going to go down fast. You know. Maybe put them in the freezer a little bit. Give them an extra. That's a life hack. I'm serious. If you want, I can give you like, I can do like a BuzzFeed ways to like make your wine. Put a little water first in the thing, and anyways, you could also, if you want to be yotze with the shita of like, you know, wine on Purim, oil on Hanukkah, so put a little drop of oil before you put the wax candle in, so when it melts down, it also has the palm of the oil.
That's not true, but that also is considered a hiddur, an extra hiddur.
But when we come to light those candles, every single man, woman, and Jewish child is connecting to the Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol. Literally. Vilna Gaon says a beautiful thought. Beautiful vart. Says that there are three parts to Hadlakas Neiros. This is based on the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about lighting candles. There are three aspects to Hadlakas Neiros. The first is the vessel, is the kli. Right? It's called a ner. In halachic terminology, ner means the vessel. You have a little glass, a little glass cup. That's called ner. In order to make that ner illuminate, so you put shemen, some type of fuel, and there has to be something which channels it, and that's called a wick, teal. Says the Vilna Gaon, when we're miyachid, when we bring together these three things, the vessel, the ner, the ptil, the wick, and the shemen, it's osios nefesh. Ner, ptil, shemen, or osios nefesh. Because when a yid comes to light Hanukkah candles, we're reminding ourselves what it was during those days by Amim Ahem Bazman Hazeh. It's true. We're, so to speak, reenacting and continuing the miracle that took place in the Beis HaMikdash then, now in our own homes. And it's as if we are that Kohen Gadol, accessing that deep place inside of us that's always lit. But more importantly than reenacting something that happened then, the Vilna Gaon explains, v'miyached, and ner, til, and the shemen, we're lighting our own nefesh. We're illuminating, we're tapping into that place inside of us called nefesh. As the Pasuk in Tilim tells us, the default setting for a Jew is nafshenu, Chiksa Lashem. Nafshenu Chikta Lashem. Meaning? Nafshenu? Our soul. Chikta is yearning for Hashem. The same way you hold a candle, however you take a candle, however you hold it, the flame always goes up. The way that Hashem, the flame is always, you can't hold a candle down. When you hold a lit candle down, the flame is still going up. Watch your hand, right? To like hold it, right? Watch your hand, because the flame is always going up. There's a certain way that Hashem made fire to remind us that no matter which direction we're in, if we're turned upside down, no matter what we're stuck and involved in and surrounded by, we're constantly yearning for Hashem. Nafshenu chikta l'Hashem. The same way that a plant is heliotropic. It's always going to like look for the sun, no matter what you do. If there's a little ray of light coming in from a window far away, that plant is going to lean in that direction. It's heliotropic, because it needs that process of photosynthesis to live. So a yid is heliotropic, a theotropic. We're yearning toward the rays of the sun of the Ribono Shel Olam. Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem. Says the Tiferet Shlomo of Radomsk, Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem, is osios nachal, nun chet lamed, nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem, which are the same letters of the tzira for the bracha we make, l'habit ner Chanukah. The remez, l'habit ner Chanukah. That when we're lighting that candle, we ourselves, it's like we're lighting ourselves. The same way that davening, when a Jew comes to daven, it's not so much what we're doing to Hashem in our tefillah, looking to change the divine mind, as much as we're engaging in something which is reflexive. Lihit Palel is reflexive. As Rav Kook explains, I come to daven, it's like I'm presumptuous to say I know better than the Ribono Shel Olam had around the world. I don't know better than God. God's all knowing. Where do I get off telling Hashem what to do? It's a partnership. Hashem wants our feedback. But all of this praise of Hashem, and all of this like haggling with God, and this Psuki de Zimra, talking about the heavens and the earth and the world and everything in it, is for me to know my place. It's reflexive. Lihit Palel. it's so that I change, so that something happens in me. And when I daven and I change, or I understand my place in the world vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, the creator and the sustainer of the world, I'm not the same now as I was before. All of that praise of Hashem has to make an imprint in our minds. It has to change the way we see ourselves and our place in the world. So now the gezeira is on somebody else. That person is now, I'm now no longer that person. I've changed, I've grown, I've developed, I've moved. So if Cook explains that that's what davening is, not going to change the divine mind, it's reflexive. In a similar vein, we could suggest that that's what's happening in the lighting Hanukkah candles. Not in the Beis HaMikdash, not really in the temple. So it's a nice, like, nostalgia of the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo says that every single home becomes like the Beis HaMikdash. It's very beautiful. But more fundamentally, it's a reflexive process of us lighting ourselves, reminding ourselves that we are lit the whole time. Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem, osios nachal. As the Pasuk tells us in the Shira and Hazinu, kinichal mitayu. Our relationship with Hashem is like a nachal. Nachal is like, you go on a good hike through a nachal. The water is flowing, but then there's like this little undertow, like the pool going the other way. When you go like out to the water, like the water is going one way, and then underneath there's like something called an undertow that's pulling the other way. There's always a two-way flow. Nafshenu chiksal Hashem, kinichalim yitayu. Like a river flows, that's our kesher with Hashem. It's a two-way street. Nafshenu chiksal Hashem, our soul is yearning for God. And in response, notzer chesed, la'alafim, also osios nachal. Hashem is responding with chasadim gluyim during Chanukah. Open miracles. Pach Shemen, this whole miracle of Pach Shemen, finding this Pach Shemen, it's an interesting, it's a beautiful maisa, no? It's interesting that like, that's not what, in our davening, that's not what we're addressing. We're talking about a military victory, yeah? We're talking about Matasyahu Banav went out to war, but we don't really address the Pach Shemen, which is what the practice of Chanukah really is focused on. Yeah, let's start with that. Which is the essential miracle? What's the most important part of it? Is it the part that the Chazal established as the liturgy for Chanukah and Bimei Matisyahu Nal Nisim, or is it about the Pach Shemen? And if it's about the Pach Shemen, so how come we don't talk about the Ridavim? If it's about the military victory, so how come we don't really do anything to represent that in our Hanhagos, unless eating jelly donuts somehow has to do with that. Mm-hmm. What do you say? Oh, you just clap, you're clapping for jelly donuts?
Yeah.
No, okay.
this Pach Shemet, this Pach Shemet. I hear you. This Pach Shemet, this whole thing with the Pach Shemet and the military victory, they do have something in common. Rambam has a strange language, more strange than any other place in the Rambam. Initially, the different svarim the Rambam wrote. What are they? What are the svarim the Rambam wrote? Mishnah Torah. What else? Ravuchim. Some people learn that. What else?
Commentary.
Oh, I don't learn Mishnah Torah. Other people do. What else?
Commentary.
Ah. Perish Mishnah. It's very good. Each one of the Rambam's works has a different focus, right? Has a different focus. And the Rambam's writings are treated very differently. Strong. The Rambam's, they're treated very differently. They're treated differently. Mishnah Torah is halachic work, right? Halachic work. Yerat Teiman is a work of chizik, of emuna. Perish Mishnayos, you'll throw in there different aspects of methodology. But Perish Mishnayos, the Mishnah Torah, the Yad Chazakah, it's word, every single word is measured. I mean, the Briskers made a whole 100-year business out of like analyzing every single letter of every single word in the Rambam. No? That's what they do. I mean, that's the bread and butter. They do during morning Seder. Is handle about one letter in the Mishnah Torah. They do that for an entire zman. Rambam's introduction to Hilchos Chanukah begins in a very interesting way. Rambam writes, and this is the only place you find this really in all of Mishnah Torah, in all of Halacha. Before he gets into the nitty-gritty of the how, what, where, when, of what to do with Neros Chanukah, anybody saw it? Rambam starts, what you saw?
One of our teachers
was
talking about it. It was like
Chavid
Me'od or something like that.
It's a wild language. No. So you need the validation of sitting around everybody around you work the hands. You need that extra. You need a person. Mitzvah's their Chanukah. Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, great, it was good. Were there only two people in that class? Mitzvah Ner Chanukah is Chavivahi HaMo'od, is beloved Mo'od, very, very, very much. It's beloved a lot. Not just that it's beloved, it's a lot beloved, very beloved, Mo'od beloved. Mo'od, Mo'od beloved. Like, supersized beloved, extra. Extra chimichurri, beloved. Ma'od, chavid. The Rambam doesn't have language like that. It's a halachic word. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. Where to light the candles. Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Tell me it's here. Tell me it's there. How much oil? How little oil? Kezayis, kebetz. Give me the facts. What are you giving me a drasha here? That a mitzvah nechanukah chavivah me'od. What are you coming here? Guest speaker in Shalvim. Trying to use adjectives to make people feel engaged. Say it like what it is. Tell me what it is and tell me what to do. Why are you making the whole fuss? Says Rav Wolfson, the Mashkiach HaTorah V'Das, the word ma'od is a cue. When you see the word ma'od as a description of a mitzvah or an event, it implies Mesiras Nefesh. The reason why the Rambam introduces Hilchos Chanukah by letting us know how beloved, how precious the Yom Tov of Chanukah is, by saying it's Chaviva Ma'od, then we have to know that the driving force, the currency of Chanukah is Mesiras Nefesh. That's the Pach Shemen, the Mesiras Nefesh of the Chashmonaim, of Matasel Banav on the battlefield, was the same Mesiras Nefesh that they had in the Makom HaMikdash, the Pach Shemen. Yeah? What? Yes? What does those two things have to do with it? Again, Mesiras Nefesh on the battlefield, I get. It was almost the ratio of Greek soldiers, the Jewish soldiers, the Jewish fighters, was almost as disproportionate as the Six-Day War. It was about 4-1, historically speaking. 4-1 Greeks to Jews. If you count the Jordan legionaries and the soldiers who came from Saudi Arabia and from Qatar, etc., it was 5-1 in the Six-Day War. Rabbi Bad Ma'atim, Ala Nisim, it's almost that much. You understand the Mesiras Nefesh of Matasyahu Banav, that it's Chaviv Ma'od, that they went out to battle in such a disproportionate way. These yeshiva bachrim went out to fight. But what's the Mesiras Nefesh in the Beis HaMikdash to light the menorah? That oil, they lit it and they moved on. What's the Mesiras Nefesh? What do you say? It's a nice bark, but is it true? What do you say? What's the Mesiras Nefesh have to do with Pach Shem? Where is the miracle of the lighting of the oil in the Beis HaMikdash? What do you say? I'm not going to remember your name anyway, so even if it's a bad, if it's an answer that makes you feel bad, I'm not going to make you feel bad. I'm not going to do that. What do you say? Where's the Mesiras Nefesh? What do you got?
This will be really long.
Good, it's fine. All right, problems at home. We're going to see each other. We're going to see, okay, it's fine. We're comfortable, we're cool, we're good.
Maybe because like since
there
were time I could have just like used like any oil, but since well, but like
the difference
like,
is
kinda,
she
like,
said
above and beyond.
Your brother killed it, both. Sorry. Killed. Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. It's too long the session. It's too long. Yeah. What do you got?
Since there were Tamid, I could have just used like Tamid oil, but since they went like above and beyond, and like so like specifically like looked at a Tamid oil.
Beautiful, beautiful. Meaning that they weren't satisfied with good enough. They wanted the best. Beautiful, beautiful. Want to give her a yeah? You can do that. That's good. You're also awesome. You took a risk. That was great. you know, the miracle isn't so much that they found this oil. It was there. It's like you lose your car keys. Or me, like I wake up on a flight and I can't find my yarmulke and glasses. always. And I'm it's a miracle that I find them. It's not a miracle that I found them. They're there. I'm an idiot that I don't every time I prepare it and put it in my pocket. It's not a miracle that I found my yarmulke and glasses every time. It's there. What's the miracle that they found the Pach Shemen? It's not a miracle that Matisyahu found this flask of oil that was still marked with the seal of the Kohen Gadol that was totally pure. It's not a miracle that he found it. The miracle is that he didn't give up finding it and that he kept looking. The miracle is that he didn't throw in the towel. The Nes of Chanukah is that there was a Jew at a time of Chorban, a Jew at a time where things were in disrepair. Things were broken and dysfunctional. They were dark. The majority of Jews had abandoned the symbols of Klal Yisrael. There was rampant assimilation. It was dark. There were gezeros against the Jewish people, and it was a time of tzara. Choshech al pnei tahom, choshech zuyah. It was a time of great darkness. The nes is that there was a Jew named Matisyahu who didn't give up, who wasn't mityaesh, who didn't throw in the towel, who didn't settle for good enough, who said, a Jew is always lit. Ani yishena v'libi er. Maybe it looks right now like we're in a state of spiritual slumber. Maybe it looks right now like we're in a state of total disrepair. The Beis HaMikdash was all broken. The parts of chomos migdalai, all the differentiations between Jew and Gentile were broken down. There was tumah rampant throughout the temple. But he didn't give up, not on the Beis HaMikdash, and not on himself, and not on Klal Yisrael. And not on that Meshumud Moseri. Because he understood that there was something happening then, in those days, Kafei Kislev, on Chanukah, on Kafei Kislev, he understood that there was something there in the Bria that was enabling the soul of Klal Yisrael to shine in a way which hadn't since the time where the Beis HaMikdash was Mechura. In other words, Matasyahu didn't give up. He understood that a Jew is always lit. Rabbi Sosa Salanter points out, do you know where that koach comes from? Where that mesiras nefesh to not give up on another Jew and not give up on oneself? He said it comes, like the Baal HaTani says, Yerushim Avoseinu, something we inherit. It's inborn. It's something inside of every single one of us. When Avraham Avinu, the first Jew, goes with his son, Yitzchak, who was the first born Jew, the first Jew who was born, they go together to Akedah in Yerushalayim, in the Makam HaMikdash. So they're with Yishmael and Eliezer, and Avraham Avinu turns to Yishmael, Eliezer, and the donkey and says, Anochi, Ani, Vanar, I and my son, Yitzchak, Nelcha Adko, we're going to go there. And you guys stay here with the donkey. Stay here. Eliezer, Yishmael, you stay here. Ani v'anar, nelcha ad ko. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, not Chassidus Rebbe. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, what Avraham and Yitzchak were doing, Masa Avo Simul Abanim, were implanting into the Bria, into the Jewish reality, into the DNA of every single one of us, that there's something called ad ko. There, we're going there. You have to stay here, but there's something beyond that we're going to reach in that place on Har Habayis called Ko. It's an allusion to Chafei Kislev, he says. It's an allusion to Chafei Kislev. And that mysterious nefesh of Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu at the Akedah, that mysterious nefesh implants that Midah, Masa Avo Simul Abanim, inside of every single one of us. And we wake that up, that opens up. When we turn a little bit on Chafei Kislev. Chaviva hi ad ma'od, the Rambam says. Ma'od. V'havta as Hashem alokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol meldecha. Says the Gemara, what does it mean v'havta as Hashem b'chol levavcha? What is b'chol levavcha? To use all of our passions, all of our abilities, all of our strengths, and all of our weaknesses to serve God. V'chol mafshecha. Afilim. No, tell us not. Even if it means giving up our life. We use all of our kochos, all of our passions, b'shnei yitzracha, and we use, even if it means until mesiras nefesh, to give up our life, b'chol mafshecha, to serve God. And what does a Jew value more than all of our passions and our abilities and our life? B'chol maodecha, says the Gemara, our money. Our money. A Jew is willing to give up b'shnei yitzracha and give up their life, but sometimes it's hard for them to give up their money. Lubavitcher Rebbe says, come on, their money? That's, they value more than life? Kesef, because the same, kesef means not just money, it means kisufim, what we yearn for. Not just what I want, but what I yearn for. What I want, I want that shirt, I want that outfit. I want my parents to let me to stay out till 2 later. I want to get my driver, I want to get into this program, I want him to pay attention to me. I want to do well in this class. Those are all things that are in the realm of possibility. Yearning is for something that sometimes feels like it's beyond us. L'chsof, kisufin, represents something which just seems, I can't do this on my own. It's not something that I can, in the world of nature, it's not going to happen. So we're kosef after, we yearn after. Says the Rebbe, that's what it means, b'chol me'odecha. After we've given all of our kochos, we've done everything we possibly can, all of our resources, all of our abilities, all of our strengths, to the point where we're willing to give up our life, we've done everything possible, by a yid is something called me'odecha, me'od. There's something even more that we can do. And that place is called mesiras nefesh. When I'm totally done, toast, I see this every summer. You see, every summer, staff members and has counselors give themselves beyond body, soul, mind, heart, everything possible. So I can't do anything more. And then pitaom, able to reach into a place called me'od, that's beyond levavcha, beyond nafshecha, a place of kisufin. That's called mesiras nefesh. And that's what it was when they went out to war against the Yevanim. And that's what it was when Matasyahu didn't give up and said, I'm not, yes, we can take this oil, which would be b'di'evet, and we can do it. There's tumah, such as a betzibur, we're able to, we're allowed to. But I want to dig deeper. We need to open up this channel of understanding that a Jew has to know that no matter what we're surrounded by, no matter what it looks like on the outside, no matter where we fall into, no matter what we get stuck in, no matter how dark it may seem, there's something called the Jewish soul. A ner, til, and shemen. A nefesh that's constantly yearning for God. And when we light those candles on Chanukah, and we're back there in that mikdash, surrounded by the rubble and all the broken flasks, and we find that pure place inside of us, and we light those candles, we're meir b'chol ha'olamos. Beautiful medrash from Baal Oschach. So I'm going to read you this medrash, and then we'll wrap up. Mashal lamad lavar dama. What is it? Baal Oschach, Aneiros. This whole process of lighting our candles in our homes, in our dormitories. Jews are lighting menorah in the streets to be mefarsein to a pirsumei nisa. The miracle of the survival of the Jewish people, of Klal Yisrael, who don't give up, who are constantly yearning for Hashem. Says the Medrash. This is written by Tanoim, authors of our Gemara. Mashal l'mad davar dome. L'melech shahayu lo ohev. There was somebody who loved the king very, very much. He was a loyal servant to the king. Somebody who worked in the king's palace and served him nobly. Amar lo melech. King tells him, I want you to know that I'm coming to your neighborhood. And I want to come to your house. I'd like to eat by you. So just heads up, I'm coming to town. I'd like to come visit you in your home. It's a tremendous honor. It's a tremendous kavod that the king is going to leave his palace, leave his throne, and come to this regular person's house as a symbol of his love and his affection. Halacha ohavo behitkin mita shel hedyot. He went and he did his best. He went to IKEA, got a nice bed. Menorah shel hedyot. He went to Machzanei Teurah. He bought himself a new, like, you know, some new lighting for the house. Shulchan shel hedyot. You know, he went to Walmart and got the nicest table he possibly could. Kevin shel b'malach. And when the king arrived to the town, when the day came and the king arrived to the town, Bolimo, Shamashin Sevivo, there's all these different Gapayim and helpers and people surrounding him. Mikam, Mikam, Menor Shalzov, Menor Shalzov, Lafana. There was this helpers to the left and helpers to the right. They came with all of like wagons filled with his vessels. And in front he saw that there was a menorah shel zahav. There was this beautiful candelabra that the king traveled with that was his, yeah, I guess his Shabbos lamp. Came with his own appliances. Came in Shiro Ahava is called a kavod, hitbayesh. When he saw the kavod, the honor of the king, the glory of the king coming, he was embarrassed. He said, I'm going to put out all this stuff that I bought in Target and Walmart, that I bought in the mall over here with, you know, the best I could do. I'm going to put that out for the king. I mean, it's embarrassing. The king has his special kalim. The king has his appliances. So he quickly went and, like, it was embarrassing. He put the stuff that he prepared, he packed it up and stuck it in the closet because it was embarrassing for him. You understand? It was embarrassing. The king arrives in his house. I didn't tell you I was coming, but you don't remember that I told you I was coming today?
How come you didn't prepare anything for me? Matt, I told you I'm coming. I said this is going to be our day that I come to honor you in your home. How come you didn't like set the table or like, I don't know, set something up over here?
Amalo Avo, the beloved servant says to him, Ra'iti eskol ha'kavod hazeh shevayimach. When I saw you coming and I saw all the honor and glory that you came, that comes with you, nitbayashti v'tmati kol ma'ashit kishitkanti l'cha. Shahayu kli hedios. Everything that I bought was just not l'chvodcha. It wasn't enough. I felt embarrassed. I felt like I would let you down. I put everything away. You know, when we talk about Chanukah, when we talk about doing Torah mitzvahs, we talk about being mamlech Hashem. Rosh Hashanah blowing shofar, and on sukkah sitting in a sukkah and eating matzah and Pesach.
When we talk about being mamlech Hashem, honoring God, Kvod Shamayim.
We talk about coronating God. We talk about giving honor to Hashem. Just stop for a moment and think about it. Me, who forgot the bench. Me, who sometimes in Ubal Tzion ends up in the middle of Magdil Yishos Malko, and then like sometimes in the middle of benching ends up in Psukit Zimra. Like me, who, you know, I want to say, but sometimes talk about other people in not the nicest of terms. Me who, like, you know, gets into fights with their siblings and, right, sometimes spaces out, sometimes miss a mincha, who struggles with, like, shmeres mitzvah sometimes. I'm going to be mamlech Hashem, hedyot, with my table from Walmart and my chandelier that I bought in IKEA. 149 shekels, the Imam al-Hashem, the king was coming to my house, like, seriously? The best I could do, but why would the king be interested in that? And how is that show kavod to Hashem? Says the Melech to his beloved servant, Chayecha shani posel et kol kli sheheveti.
Don't you get it? All the stuff that I travel, all of my belongings, all that I have, Posel kol kli sheveti b'shvil ahavascha eini mishtamish el b'shalcha. Don't you understand? I'm not interested in the glory, in the cover. If I wanted that, I could do it without. I want you. I want you. B'shvil ahavascha eini mishtamish el b'shvilcha. I only want yours. So on Chanukah, when we light, and the custom is, we light the hearth very close to the ground,
Lamakamiasara, to represent that the light of Hashem is filling every single corner of the earth, no matter how low it is, no matter how dark it is. And Chalikum, when we take our little oil and our little wax and we take a cup and we light it up, there's something which is just as a visceral, powerful thing that happens. Something happens when we illuminate darkness. There's something that happens there. We recognize how what we do matters and how our actions can change the reality around us. There's nothing more powerful than lighting a candle. If we stop for a second to think about like what Hashem is asking us, Hashem is expecting from us. He was not asking us for big avodos, and not asking us to be something that we're not. Not asking for us to come before Him and put on a big show. Elanu reshut lishtamesh b'hem el l'rosim b'lvad. As my Rebbe explains, he was telling us just sit by the candles and look at them. Don't touch. When we light the candle as an extension of ourselves, again, nafshenu chiksel Hashem. When we light ourselves up on Chanukah, and we sit there and we reflect on them a little bit. It's not thinking about what I want to be better, what I want to do more, and what Kabbalahs I'm going to take, and how I'm going to yearn for higher levels. But to stop and to reflect, okay, yes, Rebbeinu Shlomo, I'm with you. You're here, you came to my place. During the Beinamit, during the Aser Simei Tshuva, during Elul, HaMelech Pasada, the king is in the field. And we can go out to greet Hashem, and He's accessible, we can find Him. And there's a certain level of closeness of Anila Dodi Vadodi Li. But on Chanukah, we don't have to go out to the field, Hashem. Wherever we are, we light a candle and Hashem comes to us. The whole different level. The whole different way of interacting and being close. And the Baal Tanya would say even more. On Chanukah, it's not that we reveal that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is coming to us in our houses. But on Chanukah, when we light those candles, we recognize that we ourselves are lit and that Hashem is with us the whole time. Lakai, neshama shenasata bi, tahorihi. Why is it that it's always tahora? Why is it that no matter what, the Jew is always lit? Because that light ultimately is Hashem Himself. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is manifest in us. And maybe more than any other time of year, Chanukah, when we can wake that up. No matter how dark it is, no matter how tumultuous the world may be, and sometimes the world can be a very dark and scary place. And in our own personal lives, we can be experiencing what the Jewish people went through during those days. On Chanukah, when we light those candles, we light ourselves up. On Chanukah, we like Matasyahu Banav make that statement very clearly. Mila Hashem Elai, we're here. And Hashem is with us. Hashem comes to our place, Amatami Asara, exactly where we are. Exactly where we are. In a mikdash that's all in the tumultuous and that's all broken apart, in a place where there's all sorts of tumah surrounding us, in a place of misyavnim, a Hellenized place, Hashem says, I'm with you. With whatever table you bought in Target and with whatever chandelier you have from IKEA, I want you exactly the way you are. Ein lanu reshut l'shtamish b'am ela l'rosim b'lvar. Chanukah, we take a step back, we look at ourselves, we appreciate our mesiras nefesh. We appreciate the Yiddishkeit that we do. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. We appreciate how we are illuminating the world. Leil Shabbos, God willing, you'll God willing, have a Jewish home and a beautiful family in Mirtz Hashem. And you like candles like Jewish women do. One of the most beautiful tefillos that we have in our liturgy is the tefillah there, that those sacred moments after lighting candles. Zakeni legadol banim bnei banim chachamim nevonim ove Hashem yirei lekim. It's a beautiful tefillah about transmission of values from mother to child, from parents to children. V'meiris ha'olam b'torah masim tovim v'chol melechas avodah sabori. One of the mashpiyim of Breslov in Yerushalayim named Mata Franco points out, you know, not every Jewish child, not every Yid that you meet in the street is a chacham. Not every Jew that we know is a Navon. Chachamim Navonim, not everybody. Right? You meet Jews who are Ovei Hashem? Not all the time. It's such a thing in the world that you can meet a Jew who might not be such an Ovei Hashem. How about Yirei Elokim? Does every Jew that you meet on the street have Yirei Shamayim? No. So when we daven, when that woman daven that tefillah, But recognizing that there's lots of ways of coming close to Hashem. We say, one, our children to be chachamim nevonim, ove Hashem yirei Elokim, anshei emes, honest, not everybody's honest. Meir nesa'olam. We want our children, we want to be meir nesa'olam. We want to illuminate the world. Torah umasim tovim. But what happens if a person doesn't find their place in Torah? What happens if a person doesn't find their place in Masim Tovim? Sometimes a Yid is not working every moment in Torah. Sometimes a Jew is not busy every moment in Masim Tovim. Says Rabbi Nachman, Chol Melechas Avodas Haborei. Everything we're doing, we could be engaged in Melechas Avodas Haborei. Everything we're doing. Chanukah Dafka is a Yom Tov that takes place during Chol. We walk through the streets for all intents and purposes during the day. It looks like any other day. Not wearing big day yontif. There's no restrictions. I mean, there's jelly donuts all over the place. But it doesn't have to be. There's nothing different in the Qs and in the davening. So we add a paragraph in davening. There's Hallel, but no, we have it on Rosh Chodesh too. It's a day which is Vachadi. It's a day of begin. In fact, the Gemara says that the timing of lighting candles even is connected to when Tichla Regel Menashuk. It's a Vachadik a day. Tichla Regel Menashuk, it looks like a regular day. Everything on the outside looks like it's just, everything is going the way it always goes. But he has to know that we're Meir Esa'olam. Yes with Torah, and yes with Masim Tovim. But even if a Jew is not being Meir Esa'olam with Torah and Masim Tovim, L'chol melecha savodas habore. And Chanukah, we wake up the recognition that Etzem Davar, a Jew in the world, is Mar B'Kvod Shammai. Even that Moser, even that Rosh Marusha on Chanukah, is Meir B'chol HaOlamos. Because Nafshenu Chiksel Hashem. We're heliotropic. We're constantly yearning for God. Chanukah is a time where we wake up that subconscious. We're able to tap into that Etzem, to that little jug of oil that remains pure, that's buried under lots of rubble, hidden in the darkness. The mysterious nefesh of Chanukah for us is to be able to find that in ourselves, to believe that in ourselves, so that we're able to see it in others. In that way, whatever we're doing, the chol melecha savodas habore, whatever we're good at with our strengths and our interests and our talents and our abilities, we turn that over to Hashem, we're meir esa'olam. We illuminate the entire world. That's called Pirsumei Nisa. And that's what it means to publicize the miracle. The miracle that a Jew never gives up hope, not on themselves and not on each other. So it should help us that we have a lechting, a Chanukah, and that we believe even for a moment, that Hashem wants us and is interested in what we're doing and is coming to our place to be with us by our neiros. So if you light the candle and it blows out, the halacha is, we don't have to relight it. Even though the shir is half an hour, if it blows out that moment, kavsa in a zakakla. It doesn't have to be relit. Because that one moment is so precious, it's so meaningful in and of itself. Ribbono Shel Olam is such nachas. You saw, you're able to be Meir Esa'olam. We're able even for a moment to illuminate darkness. We're able to fix the whole world with one moment. The mysterious nefesh of a Yid on Chanukah, the ma'odecha of Chanukah, is to believe that, is to tap into that, is to just be okay with it. Just to look at the candles and to know that just like these candles are illuminating the world, we are too. Have a beautiful yom.